Welcome to another episode of the Amber May Show. I am so glad that you are joining me because today I have Alan Sanders joining me of the Alan Sanders Show, and we are talking about a lot of different topics on this episode. I have a lot of great clips that I want to share with you, so please like, share, and subscribe. We are talking about the invasion at the border and what does that mean for us and the wealth transfers that are happening right here in our country. And did you know CNN is calling out lies of Joe Biden? Crazy, right? So that is on today's episode. So please like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com and click the donate button. Or you could be a $5 monthly subscriber for one cup of coffee a month at theambermayshow.locals.com. That just really supports what I'm doing. Always check the links below in the description because I have partnered with businesses to help save you money. And they are supporting what we believe in. So let's support those businesses. And then they also help support the Amber May Show. So everyone's winning in that situation. You can also find the promos at theambermayshow.com. Hit the promo section and you can find all the discounts there. And I'm always coming up with more businesses to help save you money. And you know what? One great way to help support your health is with acupofhealth.com. acupofhealth.com. They have a delicious creamy vanilla coffee that helps to point your joints, helps with weight loss. And did you know there's like a lot of pesticides in your everyday coffee? Well, not with a cup of health coffee. You will find pesticide-free coffee because it's something we don't think about. Yeah, they spray the coffee plants all over all the time. So you might be injecting a lot of pesticides every day in your cup of coffee. So ditch that coffee. Go to acupofhealth.com. When you're there, use promo code AMBER and you're going to save some money there. And you're gonna, it helps with weight loss and joints and antioxidants. So go check that out. So without further ado, I'd love to introduce you to my new friend, Alan Sanders. To another episode of the Amber May Show. So happy to have you because I have a new friend that has joined the show today, and it's Alan Sanders of the Alan Sanders Show. So welcome, Alan, to the program.
Thank you so very much for having me, Amber. It's always great to meet with some other folks who are trying to do what I do, what so many of us are doing, and that's trying to make sure we inform the public of everything that's going on, because you're not going to get it in the legacy mainstream media, not at all.
No, not at all. And I appreciate your program so much. I hope everyone will, you know, if they're not watching or listening to you now, I hope they'll catch you, because what I love about your program is you pick the highlights that are going on right now in the world, and then you just add a little extra context to it. And I just absolutely love it. And it's very entertaining to listen to. So I hope people will follow you on the Alan Sanders Show. I follow you on Twitter. That's how we connected. One of my friends listened to you and tweeted one of your shows. And then I caught on to it. I'm like, oh man, this guy's good. Really good. So I want to dive into, who is Alan Sanders? How'd you get into the broadcast world? Let us know about a little bit about who Alan Sanders is.
All right. I'll give you like a Reader's Digest version, which by saying Reader's Digest already tells you how long I've been around. I accidentally stumbled into radio. I have a background in theater and film. And at the time I was working for one of the big IT companies. We'll just call it the IBM because that's where I worked. But I did a lot of theater on the side, and I had a chance to go do a radio interview with a guy to promote one of the shows. It started a friendship. He invited me back. I started working Saturdays. My Saturday show became more of, instead of just goofy stuff, I started getting into a little bit of the news. Then I started doing the morning show because I was working remote and I could do the morning show from 6 to 9 a.m. and then still do my day job. So I started working kind of like everyone has to today, a part-time gig or two full-time gigs. Mm-hmm. And I just started, with the rise of the internet, with the rise of Twitter and other things, started reaching out to other fellow conservatives, other broadcasters. And I ended up filling in for the Eric Erickson Show, which is out of WSB in Atlanta. And it got my foot in the door into the, what we call the 50,000 watt blowtorch of freedom. It is a clear channel out of Atlanta. It's been around for over 100 and some years as a broadcast station. And I've just been going nonstop. A year and a half ago, I guess, beginning of 2022, WSB said, we want you to do a daily digital show. We'll put it on our website. We'll put it on our podcast, on our app, but you can then put it wherever else you want. We just want you talking about what's going on. And here I am.
It's a great show. Oh my gosh. So I was a radio broadcaster too, before I had children. I went to journalism school because I already knew from early on that's what I wanted to do. And working in radio is so much fun because I thought I wanted to go in TV until I interned at a radio station. So I did my internship at Fox 10 where Carrie Lake was the nighttime anchor. And nothing is by coincidence. You know, God has led me down this path of broadcasting for such time as this, for what we're doing right now, educating the public. And he had me work at Fox as an intern. And I met another Winkin news anchor there, and she got me in the door and all this stuff, right? So I don't take it as a coincidence. I was meant to work there, see how she did, because my friends were in her campaign, worked in her campaign. So we reconnected somewhat, you know. And then just from there, just making all kinds of connections, like connecting with you. And so God told me, put your show back on. I'm like, okay, here I go. You know, it's a lot easier to do it with a built-in audience at a radio station than it is to do from scratch all by yourself. But here I am connecting with a fellow broadcaster like you. So I'm really excited
Let me add to this. It doesn't matter if you get some radio time. There are so many podcasts out there. You are battling all the time for content. The thing is, you just stick with it. You stay true. You stay focused. You deliver a product and people will come.
People will come. I agree with you. So, you know, I was asking you earlier about the Ken Paxton thing, and it's a huge deal that's happening. I think it's a major win. I found this article. I think it was from Just the News. Let me share it with you really quick. Where is it? Here it is. So I liked what Trump had to say, because, you know, what they're going after him, just like they went after Ken Paxton. And I think they went after him and they're going after him because he's like an America first kind of guy. Like, he has been doing lawsuits to help protect America freedom with COVID and the border and everything like that. And I think he stands in the way of the establishment. And we obviously know the Bush family is hardcore establishment, and they have a big presence, obviously, in Texas. So I was really appreciative of the fact that he got acquitted off of 16 different allegations. And you know what they always go after with all these men? They always go after and accuse men of premarital affairs. Because, you know, the swamp, they're always sleeping with other people, but they always go after these good men and accuse them. Remember when we had the justice, when Donald Trump was appointing people to the Supreme Court, that justice, and they went after him hardcore and said, and
Justice Kavanaugh.
Thank you.
Yeah. Brett Kavanaugh, when they accused him of things that he did when he was back in high school.
Yeah, so that's one of the allegations. And, you know, when his and I appreciate what he said about his family, you know, about his wife, because it's not just him going through it. It's her going through it with him. And he got acquitted of all 16 charges. And basically, they were trying to accuse him of helping this Nate Paul character with like a personal favor using the office. And that just wasn't a thing, that just didn't happen. So I think it was more, it's a victory for our side, for the MAGA first people, because they want to get people like him out of the way. So an attorney general is the top law enforcement officer of that state. And if you're going to have someone who cares about the Constitution, cares about your right, my right, as an America first person, you're out. They want to get you out because that hurts the agenda. What do you think about the whole Attorney General Ken Paxton?
Look,
because you had a great thing to say on your show, so I'd love you to share a little bit of that.
Look, I was blown away by the court proceeding. The lawyers representing Ken Paxton in that impeachment hearing in the Senate, in the Texas House, or in the Texas Assembly, did a fantastic job, because he got people to admit, well, we don't have any evidence. And we went with our thoughts, and we went with what we heard from someone else who told it from someone else. I mean, it's a great REO Speedwagon song. I heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend, heard it from another. But you can't, that's not grounds for impeachment, right? You need to be focused on the law. And if you don't like somebody, and that's unfortunately the position we're in this country, you just look at what's happening to Donald Trump. We always were a country of rule of law, that no matter what, you could hate your political enemy, but if they didn't break the law, then you knew there was nothing you could do. Now we don't seem to care. We will manufacture evidence. We will lie. We will cheat. We will steal. You are now guilty. You are presumed guilty rather than presumed innocent. And it's up to you to prove your innocence. And that scares the absolute crap out of me as a nation, because we no longer are even close to a freedom-loving republic. If you're going to completely take 400 plus years, because let's face it, all of our rule of law is based on a body of English law that established the idea that you are innocent until proven guilty. And we're on a dime. We've changed it. And here's something else about the Ken Paxton thing, because there was a lot of information that was available that didn't get brought up in the trial. I want to let you hear a note from this team that was trying to go after Ken Paxton. Here was the to-do list. This was from Ryan Vassar. Quote, here's our to-do list. We need to update Johnny. We need to have someone call in the new meet. We need to discuss this with Luis. We need to coordinate a group office, and then we need to drop a bomb. They were trying to coordinate how best to make Ken look bad. And on top of that, in their notes, this is awesome. In their notes, on a handwritten piece of note that wasn't introduced, but it was part of the overall evidence package, one of the notes from the team, we need to cook up some complaints against Paxton. We need to cook up complaints. How do you have a case? How do you go to trial? How do you bring anybody in front of an impeachment hearing when you're already admitting you have no evidence, you heard it from someone else who heard it from someone else, and then in your own notes, you're cooking up complaints? That's what Ken Paxton was under.
Well, they have so much pride and arrogance to them because they have been putting their people in places of office for so long. So they usually get away with it. The fact that Donald Trump's been three times vindicated is amazing, because I was honestly surprised he'd be vindicated. Not because I didn't believe the lies that indicted him, but because it's so swampy there that I didn't think that they were going to give him a fair impeachment trial, to be honest with you. No. So I thought he was going to lose his impeachment, not because I believed he did anything wrong, but because all the swampy people are in these places of high power. So when you have these swampy people, and they're across the country, when you hear Hillary Clinton say, we need to pack the court, honey, they've been packing the court for decades. It's already done. They've already done it. So when we see this injustice that's happening across our nation, it makes me so upset and so sad, because if they could do it to someone like Donald Trump, who was a former president, well, in my mind, he still is the president. And he's very notable and has the power and the money, and they can go after an attorney general like this. They could crush you and I in 1 second, because we don't have the notoriety and we don't have the means.
Look what they're doing to the J6 people. Look what they're doing to the leader of the Proud Boys admitted, maybe I pushed things too far. But when you're not even in the city where the supposed insurrection took place, when you're not even there and you get thrown in jail for 22 years, and yet this other jackball that ran over an 18-year-old kid simply because he thought he was a conservative terrorist gets 5 years in prison, you know we've got problems with our justice system.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Hey guys, I want to give you a pro tip to help keep your family healthy when everyone around you is coughing, sniffling, or sneezing, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go first to drstellamd.com. When you're there, go ahead and grab some COVID bites. Also, get your ivermectin. Set up your telemed appointment and get your ivermectin. I'm going to give you a promo code to help you save some money, and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and that will help you save money. Now, here's your pro tip for you. You can use this on your entire family. The adult doses too. I've talked to a medical expert. They said cut it in half when you're dealing with children. So one tablet. What I do with my kids, because it's just too big of a pill for them, I get a blender. I put a pill in there. I fill it with water and like some flavoring, and then boom, I have them drink it before school. Pro tip, and what it has, and it's amazing. It has quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, all the therapeutics to help keep your body healthy and working at optimum health. Support your body's immune system when you use the COVID bites. They're amazing. So go to drstellamd.com, grab your COVID bites, get your ivermectin, use promo code AmberMay, and save some money.
Hi, I'm Dr. Artis, and you're watching me live on the Amber May Show. Stay tuned.
Hey friends, I want to tell you what I recently did. I broke away from the big three. I was tired of the woke mogul, and I wanted to go to a Christian conservative company that I could trust that support the organizations that I value, and that is Patriot Mobile. So when you go to patriotmobile.com/Amber, you are going to get free activation. It is super easy to get started to switch from the big three to Patriot Mobile. They'll walk you step by step. It is not difficult at all. And I've had tremendous service since I made the switch. So I recommend if you want to vote with your wallet and support a company that supports your values, go to patriotmobile.com/Amber and save on a free activation. So that's patriotmobile.com/Amber. Now the links are in the description below or on my website at theambermayshow.com/promo. So check that out. So it's time to vote with our wallet, ditch the woke mobile, and go to a Christian conservative mobile. And that is patriotmobile.com/Amber. Are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress. Speaking of problems, I'm sure you've already seen this, but I'm going to play anyways for you just in case by some chance that you haven't seen it. So Fox News had this video, and it's very disturbing. It's of migrants coming to the United States by train. Check this out. The majority of them appear to be men.
That's the part of the story that doesn't get reported nearly enough. You're talking about military age single males. Military mm-hmm. age. Why in the world are we letting those demographic age ranges into our country without vetting, without vaccinations, without any understanding of where they come from, where they're going? We're barely looking at the terror watch list and letting these people in.
We just remembered 9/11 just a few weeks ago. And at any point in time, because we have by design this happening in both our northern border being invaded and definitely in our southern border being invaded, at any point in time, we could face another 9/11 attack, but probably even worse than 9/11.
My biggest fear, Amber, is we've let 8 million people in just in the Biden regime. Just in the 2.5 years, we know for a fact 8 million people have crossed that we know about, not even the ones that got away that we don't know about. I don't know that they're going to try another building attack. I think they saw when COVID hit how susceptible we are to the logistics and supply chain and how reliant we are on electricity. And yet you've got these Marxists in Biden's, you know, White House. You've got Jennifer Granholm, who is hell-bent on turning us into an electric-only nation. China's building coal-fired plants 2 a week on average. Mm-hmm. We're going to end up having to buy electricity from China if they're willing to sell it to us. And all it takes is one of those power stations to go offline. I'm not even talking about something as crazy as a nuke in the upper atmosphere and it knocks out the grid for 6 months. Just a few weeks and people are going to lose their minds.
Oh, for sure. It'll take us from a first world country to a third world country in no time flat if we don't have adequate power.
Blink of an eye.
Yeah. And I'm not even talking about necessarily the buildings. I'm just talking about an attack period on our country, because we have enemies coming from all over the world that hate the U.S. invading the country. Not only that, but I'm not sure if you saw the article that came out from New York City where there was a toddler that was killed because of fentanyl at the daycare. So there was a daycare in New York, and there was a kilo of fentanyl that was found at this daycare. And one 22-year-old toddler died. A few had cardiac arrests. There were several that were injured, and on, like, some of them are okay right now. Some of them are still in critical care. And then one child died. And so I think most Americans at this point have felt, if you haven't known someone yet to die from fentanyl, you will soon. I know my husband and I have a friend who's had his son die of fentanyl poisoning. And so you see this fentanyl coming. It's very deadly. It doesn't take much to kill you, especially little babies and toddlers. You have the fentanyl coming in. We have the sex trafficking, the rape trafficking. I don't like calling it sex trafficking because it sounds consensual, the rape trafficking. And then you have all these people that hate America flooding in. Mm-hmm. So here's a couple things that go through my mind. Another terrorist attack. I like your observation with the grid. I think that's a great observation and could definitely happen because they're pushing for this green energy stuff that's not even there yet with, if you compare that with coal or nuclear power plants, not even close. Yeah, Texas experienced, I think they call them brownouts last winter with because of the wind turbines not turning. So they didn't have heat in a lot of places in Texas. Constant people in California, the California government constantly takes power from Arizona on a regular basis because their green deals do not work. They cannot supply the power supply to the people of California. So they constantly use the power supply from Arizona on top of the Colorado River. If you can tell, I'm a little bit upset about that. I am, because we could really use the water and stop, you know, like, if it doesn't work, do something else. Stop mooching off other people.
What you're doing, your local government or these agreements are allowing California to subsidize their bad decisions. Mm-hmm. You're subsidizing bad behavior. And like anybody who's ever had a toddler, if you keep giving in to the toddler who just starts crying for whatever they want, what's going to ever turn them around from crying for whatever they want?
Nothing. So here's my other idea about this invasion of the border, northern and southern. We have been seeing and witnessing a big wealth transfer that has happened in the United States. And we saw that with COVID for sure. They went after the small business, middle America. They're attacking the middle.
The middle class.
Middle class, big time. Because the communist countries, they have the super rich and everyone else is poor. There is no middle class. And this is the gain and their goal of the globalists. They want the middle class to be gone. So we saw a big wealth transfer during COVID when they closed all the small businesses. But gosh darn, all those big mega companies were allowed to stay open. Mm-hmm. Now you see these immigrants coming to the United States. What do you think that's going to do to the wages here in the United States? Do you think that's going to stay up? No, absolutely not. We're going to have more garbage destruction. It's going to bring more wages down, not up, because it's going to cost us more money to take care of these people. And then when you see also what happened during the riots, okay, you saw the riots happen during his presidency.
Summer of love.
Did they stop? Did the local government try and stop anything? No. And you know why I think they are not trying to stop anything? Because also we'll go to the Lahaina. What I think is happening in Lahaina is another wealth transfer. So you have Robert F. Kennedy Jr. coming out and saying that BlackRock and Vanguard are buying up residential houses so that you and I will own nothing and be happy owning nothing while they jack up the rental prices on houses. I think they're also doing that with commercial buildings so that they can own all the commercial buildings. So the small business has to pay exorbitant prices of rent, which will basically mean they really won't be able to afford to stay in business. But if they do, they're going to pay top rent dollars, nothing normal, nothing. They're going to jack up the prices on everything. So not only are they going to jack up the prices on housing, which we've seen in Arizona, the average house in Arizona is $400,000. That was never the case. We used to have affordable housing in Arizona. Rent in Arizona is $2,000 to $3,000 a month. Who can afford that? Who can afford that? So then let's go to California and all the fires there. And then you go to Lahaina and all the fires there. And it's just weird, right? You and I have a right to freedom of the press, don't we, in the Constitution?
Well, however, I like to believe that.
Local government in Lahaina is forbidding journalists to go and film the devastation because of a statutory law that they passed. I don't think statutory law supersedes the Constitution, whether it's state or federal.
No, it's not supposed to. But if you don't challenge it, and here's the thing, they know. Okay, I wanted to say this earlier. They know they're wrong. They always know they're wrong. Whether it was the impeachment, they knew it wasn't going to go through. It doesn't matter. They've got an agenda, and the agenda is the Marxist, communist, New World Order kind of thinking. They mm-hmm. believe they're all the elites. They all believe they'll be in that magic upper bubble and everybody mm-hmm. else will be below them. So that's why they all participate in it. Not everyone's going to get into that elite bubble, and they don't realize that. What bothers me most about what's going on right now is the small mom and pop store, the average American, the patriotic citizen who's just trying to eke out a living, just trying to put food on the table and take their kids to soccer or ballet or theater mm-hmm. or whatever. they're not paying attention. And the more that the left gets away with it, the more they want to keep getting away with it. And I know so many people who have just given up. They've said, you know what? You're not going to stop them. What's the point? I'm like, that's what they want. They want you to capitulate. They want you to fold. And this whole notion you're talking about not owning anything, these the BlackRock and Vanguard, it's not just commercial. They're buying houses now. Mm-hmm. When people are foreclosing, they're big in the real estate market, and now they're renting houses out. It's not just apartments. It's not just commercial. It's private residential that they want to have a full market, because then they can control your behavior. Mm-hmm. You'll own. Carol Roth put out a great book just recently. I'm hoping to be able to get her on my show. But her book that just came out is You Will Own Nothing. And it's for real. It's part of that whole World Economic Forum idea that if mm-hmm. you own nothing, then that means the state owns everything. And then you are beholden to the state.
And did you hear what the governor of Hawaii said? The state's going to pick up the state's going to grab the land. The state, right. He said it. I mean, right. You have to hear what they're saying. They tell you what they're going to do. They tell you, they don't hide it.
Nope.
But we're like so they accustomed to believe that. Anymore. Like, yeah, right. Exactly. We're so accustomed to thinking, oh, no, this is the United States. The government is for us, not against us. No, the government is not for you. The government is against you.
You know, I say that a lot lately. I remind people, and we're all raised, and I know I was, because I served in the military. I had a military family. My dad was career Army. You want to believe in the big, you know, red, white, and blue. You want to believe that, you know, here's America. We're on the, you know, we were that underdog that fights now for other people. That's gone. And that mm-hmm. hurts. And that's sad. And we can get mm-hmm. it back. But you can't keep thinking that there are really good people doing really good things. For the most part, the really good people are just keeping their head down and not saying anything. Because look at these whistleblowers. They're supposed to be protected. They're going after them. Mm-hmm. These whistleblowers. I know so many people, Amber, in the FBI who are like, you know what? I'm 5 years from retiring. I'm not going to rock the boat. You know what? It'll be somebody else's problem. Unfortunately, we've got this whole idea of kicking mm-hmm. the can down the road. Mm-hmm. People like us have to wake people up. And it's hard mm-hmm. because I get it. People listen to my show sometimes and they go, why do I listen? It's depressing. I'm like, no, by waking up, you'll have these conversations with other yes. people. And mm-hmm. we've got to pick better leaders, recognizing that our leaders are there to represent, not to rule. I say that all the time. They are not there to rule.
I think we need to change our vocabulary, because technically they're not leaders. You and I are the government. We're we the people.
Right.
They use the vernacular in a very great way to show, to make it sound like it is what it's not. So the Inflation Reduction Act, the Inflation Reduction Act is the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. So we shouldn't call them leaders, because you and I are supposed to be leading them. They're just supposed to execute our desires and our wants. And so really, I've had to change my vernacular. Like, they are not leaders. They are my elected representative. Right. And you know, they go after Donald Trump and they say three times impeach president. How about three times exonerated president? How about that? Like flipping the script on them, because words matter. Just like the Lahaina fire, when the governor said, oh, we're going to take the land, there was no water available to people to fight the fire. Children were not supervised by adults. They were not in school. I don't know the details of what was going on that day with the kids not being able to be in school, because the parents obviously were working. So that's a mystery.
So
I have to go back and wonder, did they want these people dead so it's easier to get the land, because dead people can't fight back on land? I mean, that crosses my mind.
Know, it sounds so sinister. You know, you don't want to think you're in a James Bond, you know, story, that we've got these evil masterminds who are okay with eradicating thousands of people, at least in Lahaina. Here's what I do know from people who were there and talked about it. The reason why the kids were not in school is because they were expecting those high hurricane force winds. They were worried that there might be power outages, trees coming down, and they just felt for the safety of the kids, it was better to not have them in school, which is ironic because the schools were a much more protected facility from any kind of hurricane force winds than some of these smaller homes. But that was, once again, big government made the decision. Big government wasn't going to let the water come out. Big government, because you know the electric company is controlled. It's a state-owned electric company.
Ooh.
They knew for 10 years, there were two different studies. one that came out 10 years ago and one that came out 3 years ago that said you are not dealing with this invasive grass species that is a fire hazard along your power lines. They've known, they had money set aside, they had infrastructure money, they chose to build a solar grid to show how cool they were, they could virtue signal, mm-hmm. we're part of the Green New Deal. They didn't exactly. do anything to reinforce the lines, anything to clear the brush, anything to do their jobs as, quote, big government. So my comment to my listeners all the time is, government is not here to help you. They only want your vote. They want your blind allegiance. But if you were to challenge them, they will crush you. They do not care about you.
They do not care about you at all. So,
hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second. But right now, I'm going to take a quick break.
Hey, so when you are a guest at the Amber Mae's house, you get luxury. And how you get luxury is I have this sleeping couch, this sleeper sofa, and you're telling me that's not luxury. It is when you put a MyPillow mattress topper on it. All my guests that have come over and stayed at my house have really enjoyed this sleeper sofa, which says a lot because they're getting to sleep on the MyPillow pillows. And you get the MyPillow mattress topper, and then it doesn't stop there with the luxury, because when you shower at the Anna Mae Show's house, you get to have a MyPillow towel. I don't have the kids using it. I just let the adults have the luxury, so the adults get to use the MyPillow, and they're phenomenal. And right now, there's a massive sale going on with the MyPillow towels. So you should really put luxury into your home and live it every day like Amber Mae does every day. So I have a MyPillow mattress topper on my bed. I use the MyPillow sheets, the MyPillow towels, the MyPillow slippers. I live luxury and I don't have to pay the luxury price because MyPillow has promo code. So use my name, Amber, and save up to 66% off, and you can live luxurious as well.
Hey, this is Jeff Dornick, and you're watching The Amber Mae Show.
When you have your holiday, you could get the beloved cheesecakes. They're so delicious. I'm so excited. We have family over. We're going to enjoy this wonderful, delicious cheesecake. And if you use promo code AMBER, you could save some money at checkout.
It was so delicious. I was only going to have one piece. But I had her cut it. I had her cut the piece, just like the sliver. I got to have three pieces.
What did you think about the cheesecake?
I loved it. It was really rich, really yummy. I had the chocolate, and it's very, very good. I really appreciate you that we got to eat some. Thank you.
Hey, so when it's the next celebration in your household, or you have company coming over, or you just have a craving for cheesecake, make sure you visit belovedcheesecake.com. Use promo code AmberMae at checkout to save some money. That's belovedcheesecakes.com. Remember, promo code Amber at checkout.
You are listening to The Amber Mae Show, and now we return to the show already in progress. Here's some Joe Biden news that I came across that I thought would be fun to talk to you about. All right. Remember how there is no evidence of the Biden crime family? Remember on your show how you talked about no evidence?
I don't know what to do with it all.
No evidence whatsoever. The Western Journal came out with an article that said, watched resurfaced video shows Joe Biden, Joe Hunter working the room despite claims he was never involved in his son's dealing. So Newsmax did a video on a C-SPAN video. You got to check this out.
Political speech in South Carolina. Look who's watching Joe work the room. Joe is schmoozing everybody right after the speech. See what we have shaded there? That's Hunter watching right. every step of the way. Next video, as Joe schmoozes at the right time, Hunter moves in. All right. Hunter moves in as soon as it turns to business. Watch and listen here.
Maybe we can work something out, man.
So then Joe goes right back to schmoozing and watch the men step away to conduct business separately. You see it right there. That's how it worked. That's how it worked. Circumstantial, but devastating.
So I thought that was an interesting article, especially share with my audience a few of the highlights of your show about how there is no evidence of the Biden crime family.
Well, it's ironic. I find myself sometimes repeating some of the things because you never know when somebody new is stumbling across the Correct. Show. I think the most important thing, I said this even in today's show that comes out a little bit later. If you just want to ignore everything that is in, that's there, except one story, there's no way to explain Burisma. There's no way to explain the firing of Viktor Shokin. And here, and maybe your audience knew this from you, but if they haven't, what you have to learn is that that FD 1023 form, this confidential human source, put in writing that the head of Burisma referred to Joe Biden as the big guy. You're like, well, what's the big deal? Everybody knows he's the big guy. That what you have to keep in mind is the timeline. Nobody knew of Hunter Biden's laptop when that confidential human source recorded that statement and put it in the FBI's custody. So it was a known fact that the head of Burisma, the CEO, referred to Joe Biden as the big guy. And then when we got the laptop and everything since, we've seen multiple instances of Joe Biden being referred to as the big guy. There's already your evidence linking Burisma and Joe Biden. Joe Biden himself in 2018 joked about getting the Viktor Shokin fired, said, I'm going to hold off $1 billion. You're not getting it. Joked and thought it was cool that you were doing a quid pro quo. And we and on top of all of that, we know for a fact that that confidential human source said, hey, when he was asked, why don't you just get a lawyer and fight this Viktor Shokin in court? He goes, I don't need a lawyer. I've already paid Hunter Biden $5 million and Joe Biden $5 million. And we've set up so many shell corporations, they'll never be able to trace it. Like, I don't know how much more evidence you need of just that one instance, let alone all of the other stuff we have. I mean, how many individual businesses, how many business owners have one, let alone 170 suspicious activity reports filed against them? Those are reports that banks are mandated by law to file when they suspect that you are involved in some kind of corruption or some kind of money laundering. I talked to a guy who is a banker, lifelong banker. He said if a business gets one in a lifetime, they'd probably be blackballed from ever doing any kind of business because you don't want to be associated with someone who's getting a suspicious activity report. Here's Hunter with 170. At least 170. I've heard the number rise to as much as 230. You know, the evidence is there. It's right in front of our very eyes of an influence peddling scheme. I could go on for like the next 20 minutes just documenting everything I've done in my show, Amber, but just on the Burisma alone, you've got a guy who's changed our foreign policy. You've got a guy who's beholden to another foreign company, a foreign government. You've got a guy who's money laundering. You have a guy who's willing to do it all on his own. And you know, he did it because everybody up to that point said Viktor Shokin was doing a good job. It was Joe Biden who made the decision. So did he commit treason? He chose to go against our best national interests. Did he take a bribe? Yep. Did he commit a high crime and misdemeanor? I mean, those are the three things spelled out specifically in the Constitution. Just the Burisma deal, he managed to do all three.
Let me ask you this. I don't know if you can clarify anything for me, but why the heck is Hunter Biden on a board of a foreign energy company to begin with? Like, does that make sense to you? Because it doesn't.
So let's go back to not only what Devin Archer put in the actual record in testimony, signed it and reviewed it before they released the transcript. He said that Hunter Biden represented the family brand. And when it comes down to the brand, it's Joe Biden. He admitted that the only reason that Hunter was there was because of the Biden brand. And I want to remind your audience of something that slipped under the radar for a lot of people. Devin Archer at one point was asked, well, when the Burisma CEO called Hunter, what did he say? And before they took their lunch break, initially he said, well, the Burisma CEO told Hunter, it's time to call in your dad. Then after lunch, his lawyers were like, you probably shouldn't have said dad. Changed his testimony. He said, you know what? I want to amend that statement. What I meant to say was the CEO said, you need to call DC, not call dad. Now, I don't know who in DC Hunter is going to be calling other than dad, but let's face it. This was a direct move to have Hunter Biden in place specifically to have Joe Biden in the background. So when the time came, he could have Biden, he could have Hunter call dad. Oh, I'm sorry, call DC.
And guess who's coming to Washington? Zelensky's coming to Washington.
Oh, yes. There's the guy that has all the dirt on the Bidens and all the payouts and is probably why we are still in this proxy war with Russia. Because you've got, and let's be clear, it's not just Joe Biden who's got a kid who's been serving on some energy board. You have Mitt Romney who's decided, I'm not going to run again. I don't need any more of this dirt brought up on me and my family. You've got Nancy Pelosi. You've got, you know, why the long face Ted, John Kerry. He's making money over there. So it's not just Joe Biden. Mm-mm. There's a lot of politicians' kids who are suddenly energy experts serving on boards over there.
Funny how that worked out, right? Mm-hmm. So you know how Joe Biden was the most popular president ever to run for office?
More popular than Barack Obama.
More popular than him. And you know how mainstream media made sure we knew he was the most popular president to ever run for office again? It's funny how now they're flipping the script on Joe Biden, the most popular president to ever run for office. Check what CNN has been talking about with Joe Biden.
He has done, I don't know if it's similar things, but he's sort of told some stories that don't line up quite like this before.
Yeah, this president has a pattern at this point of either inventing or embellishing stories about his own past, his biography. He did it three times in one speech last month alone. He claimed he had witnessed a bridge collapse in Pittsburgh when he actually showed up about 6 hours later. He claimed that his grandfather had died just days before he was born himself at the same hospital. In fact, his grandpa died more than a year before in a different state, not the same hospital. And he also repeated a favorite false story that I and others have debunked over and over again about a supposed conversation with an Amtrak train conductor he was friends with, who was actually deceased at the time the conversation would have had to take place. And that's not all. There are some more serious ones, in my view. Previously in his presidency, he claimed at one point he'd been arrested during a civil rights protest when, in other versions of the story, he just said an officer had taken him home from a protest. He said he had visited the Pittsburgh synagogue where worshipers were killed in a 2018 mass shooting. In fact, he'd actually spoken to the rabbi, but never went. And he's made a whole bunch of others, too. He said at one point, Republicans like to bring this up. He said that he used to drive a tractor trailer, used to drive an 18-wheeler. Never happened. The White House later clarified he used to drive a school bus at one point for as a job briefly. School bus, of course, not an 18-wheeler. So whatever his intentions, whether it's, you know, foggy memory about stuff that's going on decades ago or deliberate embellishment, this is an unfortunate pattern that keeps coming up again and again with Joe Biden.
Huh. Oh, our most popular president is a pathological liar. What?
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing. And I've mentioned this before. I actually worked with a guy in radio for a little bit who started to have, he was diagnosed early onset dementia, and great guy, wonderful guy. One of those old time porch sitting storytellers. Just would tell you the same story 100 times because it was their favorite stories. Just had all these fish tales to tell. As this guy got further along in his diagnosis, all they had left were the fish tales. They didn't remember what you said 5 seconds ago. They couldn't remember what a guest answered a question about, but they would immediately go back to the fish stories. And that's all I keep seeing with Joe Biden, because even his own staff has said, stop telling these stories. These are wrong. And every time you say it, you lose credibility with the audience because it's fact-checked already. Stop. And he can't help it. And then he adds new ones. The one that he most recently added, I was there the day after 9/11. I was there staring into the gates of hell. No, you were on the floor making a speech. You were not anywhere close. You know, he didn't work for 4 years as a professor teaching political theory. You know, he was given an honorarium in name only, never showed up to teach a single class. This president has lied his entire life. Now, as a senator, as a career politician, mostly did no harm, but now he's our commander in chief. And all those lies means the people who know the lies can use those lies to twist and get him to do what they want. He is a compromised commander in chief.
Well, think about it this way. How did he get rich? Think about it. How did he get rich being a career senator? I don't know that he's done any. Exactly my point. The American people really need to have a step back and think, okay, these people have been in office their entire life, yet they are multimillionaire, billionaire people. You don't get that on the salary of members of Congress. That's just not possible. unless you were selling out national security to line your pocketbooks, which is a big threat and a traitorous thing to do to the United States. So we have all these people that are sitting in office selling out America, national security, to line their pockets to be in this club that we're not a part of.
Well, to be fair, there are ways you can make money still. You can have book deals. You can be on the speaker circuit. You can be asked and come get paid, you know, like Hillary Clinton used to get paid millions of dollars to show up and deliver a 30-minute speech. There are ways to supplement your income. The fact of the matter is they, by being elected officials, find themselves in those positions to be invited to those things. And I'm a big fan of the very old adage, comes from Roman times, all power corrupts. And the more powerful a person thinks they are, the more influential, the more famous, whatever your view of power, the more they are influenced and corrupted. And it can't be helped. You just are going to be corrupted. And these people that are lifelong, they're corrupt. It just happens, you know, even the best people. I mean, heck, what was the Batman movie? You either die a hero or you live long enough to become the villain.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think about, I love when establishment people, resign from office, retire from office. What are your thoughts on Mitt Romney saying, I'm not going to run again?
I think Mitt sees what's coming. I think he realizes you can't push this investigation off much longer. He knows his kid has made a bunch of money in Ukraine. They've pushed this agenda of funding the Ukraine war. He doesn't need any dirt coming out on him while he's a senator for another 6 years. I think he's hoping if he can just get out of office and keep his head down, maybe he can dodge anything that comes along the way.
So what I love seeing is we're starting to see these establishment people one by one by one leave office. To me, that's a great sign. That to me, that's a signal that we're winning on our side. I think with what we're doing, no matter how big our audience are, they're not going to hear the content that you and I bring from the regular news source. They're not going to hear it. And so I think that that is a huge sign that our side is slowly winning the battle.
I think so. I think, and you know, you and I have been battling in the trenches, building audiences, trying to, you know, earn, you know, by one listener at a time. But it's like Tucker Carlson. He goes on Twitter, decides I'm not going to be beholden to Fox. They fired me. Mm-hmm. Now I don't have any restrictions. I don't have any corporate overlords. I can do what I want. Mm-hmm. And he's waking people up that, oh, maybe I should be looking at independent voices. Maybe the corporate legacy mainstream media doesn't have my best interest at heart when it comes to reporting the news. Megyn Kelly did it when she did her own podcast. You've got independent sources. You've got Ben Shapiro. You've got Glenn Beck. These voices that already had a huge audience from public airwaves going out and doing their own thing. And almost all of them at some point say, you've got to find alternate sources. And I think mm-hmm. that's only better for all Americans. I think, mm-hmm. look, the whole freedom of speech discussion. I'd rather have more people, even if you're going to have knuckleheads spouting nonsense, than restricting speech. Because the more that people speak, the more of voices you hear, the more you can hear these different ideas and decide, okay, what sounds best to me? Mm-hmm. By limiting speech, which our forefathers were so intelligent, realized you don't limit it at all. You have the right to lie bald-faced to your fellow American if you want. By not limiting it, you trust the American people to hear all of these different things. Some wacky, some maybe conspiratorial, maybe some made up out of thin air, but some will be good and the good ideas will rise to the surface. But mm-hmm. if you stifle the debate, if you stifle the ideas, then you're going to be stuck with whatever the government narrative. And as we established mm-hmm. earlier, the government doesn't care about you.
No, it doesn't care about us at all. And what I like about what you just said is, you know, when I hear some of these theories that are out there, it makes me want to look at it and check it out and see, could this possibly be true? It sounds mm-hmm. wonderful. That sounds like it could be. Then you could find out, yes, no, maybe it is, maybe it's not. But then at least you get a chance to hear some other version of a truth that's out there. And figure out for yourself, is it true or is it a lie? Am I being manipulated or is this actually factual? And that's what I like, because what we've been experiencing in the last several years, maybe even decades, and maybe we didn't even realize it, is we have been, especially right now with COVID, especially the burning of the books in our time frame. You know, whenever a new regime would come in and try and change things that weren't for the benefit of the people, they would want to destroy the books so people didn't have knowledge to be able to combat and fight the narrative that is being spoken with that new regime. What do you think about that?
Oh, 100%. When the Department of Homeland Security tried to covertly pass their own version of the Ministry of Truth, the whole Disinformation Governance Board, that, and I said it to my audience, they got caught, they got pushed back, they shut that down. Do you actually think that that really was shut down, or do they just rebrand it and move it somewhere else? That mm-hmm. still exists. We just had to have the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals uphold the lawsuit from the two attorney generals, one from Louisiana, one from Missouri, to stop the government from going to social media and telling them what they can and can't not allow on their platform. It mm-hmm. took going to a Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. This should have been the biggest no-brainer in the history of everything, because it's very clear in the Constitution. The government does not have the right to infringe your ability to speak, to address your grievances, to petition, to have a gathering. And yet they were doing it. And they mm-hmm. still want to keep doing it. And this whole idea, you know, in 1984, here, the big joke everybody keeps talking about, Orwell, it is more relevant today than ever. Because mm-hmm. I went and reread that book. My wife is part of a book club, and they just said, for the fun of it, let's just go back and read 1984. She said it went from being kind of a funny thing to do to being horrifying, because they literally were rewriting all of the media. Because if a politician said something yesterday but says something different today, all of the people in the Ministry of Truth would go rewrite what they said yesterday so it looked like that's what they had said today. They are literally trying to, well, the term gaslight, rewrite history on the fly. And they want to lie to you about what you know they said, even sometimes as early as 6 weeks ago, let alone 6 months or 6 years. It's very frustrating, and I try not to get too worked up about it, because they have no... like there's no soul in them. They're okay telling mm-hmm. a complete lie. They know what they said 6 months ago, and now they're saying exactly the opposite today. And the legacy mainstream media, if you got a D by your name, they're not going to correct you.
No. Oh man, I get sick just watching the White House press secretary, because it's one lie after another after another. And what drives me crazy is when someone asks her, like Ducey would ask her a question, she's like, well, you need to go ask them about it. You're the press secretary. You answer the question.
Right.
Stop deflecting. You answer the question. But it's just one lie after another. And wasn't Nancy Pelosi the one who told the American people exactly how they do that, how they spin things, where they tell them the news media a story, and then the news media will say the story so that it validates whatever the politician wanted to spew out of their mouth? I mean, do you remember that, her saying something like that?
That is actually, we can thank from Vietnam era, we can thank the CIA for developing what they call PSYOP programming. And that psychological operation is literally, the CIA knew that people in media, at the one point in time where we thought that there were respected journalists, they knew that everyone was hungry for the scoop, hungry mm-hmm. for the story. They wanted the Pulitzer Prize for journalism. So if they could leak the right information that they wanted repeated, they knew that that information would get in and be out there in the mainstream media. Once it's repeated, then the government could say, well, of course, look at it. It's in the news. This is what's happening. And they have created a psychological operation to make you think that what's in the news must be true because the news reported it. Only you find out they were fed a bunch of lies and ran with it. And that's still happening right now. It's actually happening in real time. Before, they used to take time to hide it. Now they don't even care.
They don't care because, like I said, they've packed their court, so to speak. Mm-hmm. They've put all their people into office and into media. They've picked all the people. I mean, they have picked the people to be in mainstream media. And you know what? When you watch the mainstream media people, they're very upset about what we're doing on our side. I mean, do you see them, like, their veins are popping out of their forehead? They're getting so worked up and so mad, especially like Morning Joe and all them. They get so worked up about our side and what we're doing and trying to lie.
The Morning Joe, I'll never forget, during COVID, one of the discussions, because, you know, Joe is married to Mika Zizinski, who's his co-host. And I'll never forget where they were railing about independent media, these blog sites that needed to be censored, these social media posts that needed to be censored. And she said, because They're trying to tell people the truth. That's our job. We tell people what the truth is.
That's right.
It's like, oh, why don't you just go ahead and admit that your whole job is to fabricate or to shape the story, shape the narrative. It's your job to put it out there, not some independent person. No, no, no. That told me all I needed to know about legacy mainstream media.
Exactly. Because you and I, what are we going to get from it? I mean, are we going to get super rich for reporting news and telling truth? No, you and I are not going to be making money. We're doing it because it's something that we're convicted to do. I remember being called to do this since I was 3 or 4 years old with my own microphone and tape recorder and making radio shows before, you know, before I even knew about a career in doing it. And I've stuck with that my whole life. I've just been drawn to broadcast. And I went to journalism school because I wanted to hold the government accountable to the people. That's why I went to journalism school. And I'm going to guess the other students that went there with me had the same idea. And then you turn around and you get out in the real world and you're like, oh,
Also been around long enough to see that the shift in journalism majors would go from I'm interested in reporting the news to I'm interested in changing the world. When your initiative, when your drive as a quote journalism major is I want to change the world, you're no longer in the news business. You're now in the propaganda business. Now it could be good propaganda. Or bad, you know, hey, support your local humane society. We want to save more dogs. It's still propaganda. It's good, but you're no longer in the news business. The news business means when you report a story, you should not have an emotional attachment to the outcome of that story. You know, if you're reporting on who won an election, your job should be, well, as of this hour, it looks like John Kerry won, or it looks like George W. Bush won. Like you just report, not, well, it looks as though John Kerry's going to lose. I can't go to work tomorrow. If you are emotionally invested in an outcome of a story, you're not a journalist.
Correct. I agree with you. Well, how can my viewers and listeners find Alan Sanders and the Alan Sanders Show?
Well, that's it. You just look for the Alan Sanders Show. You can find me. It's nice when you brand under your own name. I guess we can thank people like Madonna and Prince and Michael Jackson. You know, everybody can be their own brand now. But I've been the the Biden brand.
Yes.
You just search for the Alan Sanders Show. I'm on pretty much every podcatcher out there. Social media wise, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, X, Instagram, Getter, Truth Social. You can email the Alan Sanders Show at gmail.com. And like I said, every podcatcher out there, my flagship is WSB Radio in Atlanta. If you go to the website, wsbradio.com/the Alan Sanders Show, you can get to my broadcast there. And I try to stay active with my listeners. I really, if somebody reaches out, they add a comment, they reach out via email. I try to engage as much as I can. I believe in the conversation. And I'm just humble enough, and I've probably been around long enough and made enough mistakes to realize I don't know everything. I try to research to the very best of my ability. I never try to bring a fact. If I don't know it, I'll say, here's my thought, here's my opinion. But if I get something wrong, or if I've got something that I've missed, or something that somebody has a different spin, bring it to me. You know what? It could bring in an entire monologue for a following show, something I never even thought of. And I think that goes back to the First Amendment. The more we discuss, the more we talk, the more we not only sharpen our own ideas, because if we test them, if we literally actually go and challenge our ideas, then we know whether if they can hold up to the challenge, maybe we've got good ideas. If you never challenge them, how do you know? Right. So I'm very much about audience engagement. Now, I will say this. You talked about not getting rich. You can financially support what I'm doing because I'm a capitalist at heart, right? I mean, we should all try to figure out if we can carve out a niche, why not make something along the way?
Exactly.
I would still do this regardless of whether or not I make a fortune. But if you want to support what I do, you can actually visit patreon.com/The Alan Sanders Show. And every little bit helps.
Correct. I agree with that 100%. Well, thank you so much for your time, carving out time today to be with me my show. I've had so much fun spending this last hour with you.
Amber, this has been a fantastic conversation, and thank you for inviting me, and certainly enjoy having discovered your show now that we reached out via social. Once again, social media reached out. I responded back, and here we are. And so I would encourage everybody who's listening, if you're the first time and maybe only listening because you heard me talk of being on the show, check out Amber's show because it's well worth listening to.
Well, thank you for that plug. Well, until next time, because we have to do this again, I will bid you a good farewell.
Take care.
Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.